This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And welcome to Went to Mo Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the sometimes fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. Now, away trips to Arsenal always highlighted on the calendar, but this trip on the back of an international break, with players and managers flying across the world, probably couldn't come at a worse time. Chelsea had been unbeaten, Arsenal the same since the shock opening day defeat to Liverpool. This was always going to be a classic. And the early exchanges showed exactly why. Beth Mead put in a vibrant Arsenal 1-0 up after just 6 minutes to keep the record WSL Emirates crowd rocking. Chelsea showed good fight, coming back just 6 minutes later with Johanna Rittin-Cameron firing past Insberger in the Arsenal goal. Then everything that could go wrong did. And Captain Berger flapped at a corner. Then Alessia Russo was put in a foot race with Mara Mielda. And then a terrible refereeing decision gave Russo the chance to score her second and Arsenal's fourth from the penalty spot. Chelsea's worst defeat since 2019 against Arsenal. And supporters will be demanding an instant reaction to make sure this is just a bump in the road rather than a full-on car crash. But please, Emma, only hot dogs, no burgers. And the title of tonight's show is Only Hot Dogs, No Burgers. Went to Mo Kings Meadow episode 113. And I'm your host, Dean, as always. And I'm joined this evening by Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be back. Thanks for having me, Dane. Hello, Matt. Nice to see you.
Yeah, likewise. And we are also joined by Mr. Matt Ball. Matt, good to see you, buddy.
Yep, good to be back on again and good to see meet Simon for the first time. I wish we could speak about a better result, but it's not like Chelsea women to lose often, so we might as well talk about a bad result once in a while.
Yeah, the first time in 4 years since the men and the women have lost on the same weekend or day. So usually we are keeping the flag flying high for Chelsea. Unfortunately not this weekend. Now remember, you can listen to the show live every Tuesday around 8 p.m. by heading to Mixlr, to mixlr.com, and searching for Went to Mo Kings Meadow, and you can join in the likes of Buffer in there during the chat room, and you can join in the show by posting as we go, and I'll try and feed some into the show as we do. Now on the show tonight, in part one, we're going to examine the wreckage of Chelsea's 4-1 defeat away to Arsenal, and then in part two, we're going to look ahead to Thursday night's UWSTL, so UEFA Women's Champions League clash, with BK Hackham at Stamford Bridge, so we look forward to that. Before we do all that, a perfect opportunity to tell you that a special subscription offer to Kings Meadow Chronicle is available online via kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. Kings Meadow Chronicle features a host of great writers such as Simon Kingman, who's with us now, Sophie Spittle, Rebecca Grassby, Clayton Beerman, Harry Edwards, Jeremy Goldenberg, and many, many others. Subscriptions. So the special offer is you get the £10 subscription plus delivery. And then you get a free PDF subscription as well, so you can gift a subscription to a loved one and then get the fanzine email to you as well. Or you can get the email for a friend and get the physical copy yourself. It's up to you. That website, again, is www.kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. And we'll be right back after this.
Yeah!
then let's get this over with, because it was a bad, bad day for Chelsea. Lining up for this one in a 4-2-3-1 formation with Van Katchenberger in goal. Sorry. Back four of Yves Perisse, Maron Mjelde, Jess Carter and Neve Charles. Aaron Cooper and Jurgen Niskan paired in midfield with Johanna Rittenkamera, Jesse Fleming, Lauren James behind Sam Kerr up front. Unsurprisingly, Emma Hayes used all five of her available substitutions. She brought on Khadija Buchanan, Ashley Lawrence and Frank Kirby at half-time for Mjelde, Perisse and Niskan. Then in the 64th minute, Guru Wrighton returned from injury replacing Rittenkamera. And in the 75th minute, Mia Fischel replaced Lauren James. That left just Jessica Mizovic, Sophie Ingle, Hannah Hampson and Aggie Beaver-Jones as the unused substitutes. Stats-wise, Chelsea had 52% possession, 12 shots, 6 on target, 2 corners and 12 fouls to Arsenal's. 48% possession, 12 shots, 5 on target, 5 corners and 16 fouls. And Matt, when I put those stats together, I was quite surprised, to be honest with you, because it felt like, that looks like a closer game than it was.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't. Didn't feel like that close watching it. Personally, I think it was just overall just a dreadful match from top to bottom. As you said, and anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. I think we were also a little bit fortunate to have 10 men on the pitch, so I suppose something went our way. But 10 women on the pitch. But it is what it is. I think sometimes you do have these results. And you do have these performances, but unfortunately we had this performance against arguably the second best team in the division. So it's something we've got to push on. As you said, we've got Hacking in midweek. We've got to score some goals, get some confidence back in, and then continue as we were before.
Yeah, and Simon, I know you was at the game with the Kings Meadow official supporters group flags. And it looked a great atmosphere on TV, and Arsenal looked right up for it, and that showed, you know, with that opening goal, didn't it? Lots of pressure on us, and we sort of folded quite quickly.
It was, yeah. It reminded me of the Conti Cup final last season, in the way that we played and the way that Arsenal played. I mean, going there, it seemed the place was buzzing, yeah, and it was. It's a massive stadium, isn't it? I've never been there for a men's game, but the women's game. I mean, they were quite quiet at Arsenal. And the shrill sort of went up as they attacked. And obviously when they scored, it sort of erupted. So it was a miserable day for us. Wet. We were sat row 4 as well. And we were just where the roof soaked us, basically. So it was, yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah, all that money designed it, you still get wet at the front. Matt, yeah. It felt like it was going to be a long, long day after that, but Chelsea did bounce back pretty quickly with Jesse Fleming running through the midfield. And you had a Rittenkamera obviously scoring the goal. I want to talk about Jesse Fleming though, and that run, because that is the style of play I like from her and what I think could make her become one of the best players in the world. We don't get to see it too much at Chelsea, and maybe looking at positives of Emma Hayes leaving, which are very few, maybe someone getting the best out of Jesse Fleming could be one of them.
Yeah, I've always found that for one reason or another, we don't seem to get the best out of Jesse Fleming. Whether that is down to the player, down to Emma, you can never really tell until, as you said, once Emma leaves and someone comes in, we'll see how Jesse does. But you're right. I think it's exactly what we needed in the game. It's just unfortunate we couldn't see that a bit more often in the game itself. But yeah, it was the perfect response you wanted. It's just unfortunately things went even more wrong after.
Yeah. I mean, Simon, the goal on TV, I was watching on TV, and the commentator was desperate for the offside to be called against Sam Kerr. And I played in goal, and I know that if a striker's in front of me, I'm letting the referee know about it. And the linesman, but Zinsberger did none of that. And have you watched it back? Do you think offside is there's a claim for it or not?
To be honest, I've not watched it. I can't force myself to watch it. I knew I was going to be on it, and I should have. And it was down the other end as well to us. So, can't comment on that, I'm afraid. I'll be brave enough one day and I'll watch it back and I'll let you know. But Once it's like, it hurts too much. Hurts. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the replays again, there's a second angle when Cameron shoots and you can see that Sam Kerr's not in front of the goalkeeper at all. If she was, she would have let the referee know. As you said, Matt, you know, from there, you know, a good response, hoping to get back in the game, but Chelsea just couldn't. And then we gift them a goal where AKB is messing around on the line and tries to get a ball that she's got no chance of getting. You know, one error too many from Berger. I know the title of the show is obviously Only Hot Dog, No Burgers. Just seems to be every time she's in goal, there is a mistake now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ilie Stat, she's very good at headers. We've seen that in the World Cup and how many she scored. So we knew that was a danger threat. And it seemed AKB never looked confident enough that she was going to go claim the ball. Normally, as a goalkeeper, goalkeepers are psychotic. They you have to be some sort of psycho to be in goal, throw yourself at challenges. I just feel that AKB didn't really 100% want to throw herself at it. And when you do that, you're never going to get to the ball. I initially was I was watching it on my phone because I had a Christmas meal. So I didn't have the best initial angle of it. And initially, I was fuming because I thought Jess Carter just got completely beaten in the air. Watching the second replay, and I was like, and looking at how Berger's done with that, and it was just simply wrong. And unfortunately, with Anne catching Berger, I mean, with all the goalkeepers that have come in, naturally the questions are, is AKB going to eventually start phasing out? And unfortunately, I feel like AKB is just making it a bit easier for herself, because you've always had to cheer up there to come in when you need. And now you've got Hannah Hampton as well. You've got Nikki Everard on loan. I think if she wants to keep a first choice goalkeeper, be the first choice goalkeeper at Chelsea in the future, I think she needs to really cut these mistakes out, because it's not looking good for her.
Yeah, I mean, more talk on the goalkeepers later in the show. And Simon, from that, you know, things go from bad to worse. You know, Russo being put in a foot race with Mara Miolda is only going to be one winner. And I know it's easy to say in hindsight, because Miolda's played, you know, she played well when she's come in, but when you're going to the Emirates, a big pitch against, you know, a fast attack, she's not the quickest. And maybe Buchanan should have started this game if we were going to play with a high line.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I saw that bit, and Russo, it looked like a race between, I don't want to be rude, but it seemed like a race between two cart horses. And Russo, yeah, she sort of showed her a clean pair of heels as she was going through it. It wasn't a sprint, but it's difficult, isn't it? Do you play? Should she have played it right back? Because I thought Eve was pretty poor to begin with, and we were sort of getting done a lot down Arsenal's left, our right, with Ford. It's difficult. I think Buchanan is... she makes a few mistakes as well. It's a difficult position at the moment, isn't it, with Millie out and now Nguyen as well. I think we could have done with her, really, but obviously that's not to be. So that was probably the best that we had, really. Jess and Marin. Difficult decisions, yeah. Really.
It is, but if you're going to play with, you know, Marin, it's not as fast. Maybe don't play on the halfway line. And let Arsenal kick the
ball.
No, true. I don't think the midfield helped the defence either at all in the game, which is why the fullbacks were getting beaten for the majority of the match, especially Ford, who had a good game. I mean, we come to half-time, Matt, 3-1 down. We're looking at Emma Hayes to make changes and to change the flow of the game. She does make changes. Shit, where I am now. Buchanan, Lawrence and Kirby on. Obviously, they didn't, but what was your thoughts at the time of those changes? And did you think that was the right change at the right time or not?
Yeah, I mean, I felt Ingle should have come on, because, as you said, the midfield, whether you had Buchanan there, whether you had Miolda there. The defensive screen wasn't there in the match. And whether it was Skin that needed to come off, Lemon that needed to come off the cuff, but whoever, I felt we just needed a soaking, or just at least sit, maybe allow the other two midfielders to then both push it forward a bit more and almost have Ingle as that sitting. But we didn't decide to do that. Maybe it's because we're already 3-1 down and you've just at that point got to go with it. So I can kind of sort of understand it, but maybe it was just the fact that you're 3-1 down. Maybe the confidence was so shot that they weren't going to come back from it, especially at the Emirates where, as you said, the crowd was buzzing. The crowd's on Arsenal side. Referees clearly on Arsenal side. BBC commentary on Arsenal side. So wasn't really much going for us at all in the game. But yeah, I don't really understand some of the subs at the same time. It wouldn't have been the subs that I'd made.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, I tweeted during the first half that, you know, they were screaming out for Ingle to come and help Nusken and Cuthbert. And, you know, the fact that she took Nusken off for Kirby and, you know, really then just left Erin on her own in that midfield when, you know, really you wanted the three bodies in there. You wanted Cuthbert to go and sit on Kim Little for the whole game and stop her influencing the way Arsenal play as she does so well. So for me, you know, this is one that the Emma's got wrong more than the players.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Ingle, we spoke about her before, didn't we? And you don't realise until she's not playing just what she brings to that team. And it would have been a perfect game for her to play. And yeah, it's a strange one. Did Emma do it just to please Jonas on her last visit to Arsenal? Give him a bit of, you know, a taste of what could be, but it's Eve. I think we were all calling that Eve. I'd love Eve, and I think she's our number one right back. And I think we were all calling for her to come off. We thought she might be the one that sort of gave way at half time. Ingle, yeah, Nusken. I think I prefer Nusken forward more as well.
Yeah.
Sitting behind Sam, maybe, but then that's it, isn't it? It's, then where do you put Jesse? Perhaps Jesse should have played swap positions with Nusken. She got a pump, as well, didn't she? Nusken? Did she go off injured? Yeah.
Yeah, as you say, you know, lots of choice of decisions that we don't make or get paid to make, but. Yeah, Matt, we'll go back. We were 3-1 down, obviously, and the games, we were losing the game anyway. But for me, you know, the subs just made the whole second half so chaotic, and you still got 45 minutes, and you need two goals to be level. I mean, it takes a second to score, is what they always say. And it just felt like we was playing as if it was the last minute of the game for the whole half, and the chances that Arsenal had and Spurs, I mean, Black Tinius missed a great one over the bar. It could have been, you know, even worse than it was. And I think that was down to the way that Emma Hayes set the team out to play in that second half, especially.
Yeah, and I think if you kind of look back almost to the Man City game as well, in a similar sort of effect, that was kind of the way we come out in the second half. Obviously, City were down to 10 men. We had the chance to then take control of the game, and again it was a bit chaotic in that game. While I feel we have played well at parts this season, there are parts of the season where I've been a bit worried, particularly defensively, and I think this has just shown the frailties that have been kind of under the woodworks a little bit in some of the games that we've kind of brushed over because we've scored loads of goals and we've won the games in the end, or got the draw at least, but I think hopefully this is the result just to kick it into the heads of the players, kick it into the head of Emma Hayes, not that she needs it normally, and that we can just move on, win most of the rest of the games of the season, and hopefully get another WSL title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Simon, if there was any hope of us getting back into the game, that was gone when Arsenal got that penalty in the second half. I know this has been the other end for you as well. How did it look at first glance live?
The way the referee reacts, and we saw Berger sort of come charging out, I thought Berger was going to get a red card as well. And I did sort of manage to see a little clip of that, and it was just a fantastic tackle, wasn't it, by Jess? Definitely. You can see the balls going the same way that Jess has tackled. But it was... And then that's it, isn't it? All you want to do then when they score that is get the hell out of there. But somebody had to take the banners down, unfortunately. So, and that was me.
I would have just left them. I mean, Matt, you know, the penalty is obviously given for the contact between Russo and Berger. You know, for me, it's all Russo. I think Russo sees the keeper just leaves her foot there. Or even kicks her herself to go down. You know, for me, it's not a penalty at all. You know, what's your thoughts on that decision? And you know, further on to that, you know, should we be looking for VAR now in the women's game because of the amount of wrong decisions we get?
Yeah, I mean, as a former ref myself, there's not many decisions that I can look at decisions. There's a lot of decisions that people say, "Oh, it's really wrong," and I can look at it from a referee's point of view, and I can see why a referee's given certain things. It might be a bit subjective, it might be down to whoever person you look at, but most decisions you can kind of see that. This, it was one of the few decisions that I was completely bewildered by, and cannot make any excuse of why a referee's given this, why she's done that. As you said, Carter clearly gets the ball, pushes it away. For me, that's dumb. But it's not like Berger's come in and completely clattered Russo. If that was the case, then I can understand it. But as you said, the keeper's Berger's there, and Russo's just effectively run into her. Berger can't just get out of the way because the ball's already gone at that point anyway. It's a ludicrous call, and obviously it's not the only mistake in the game. Arguably, two players should have been sent off in the match anyway. Do we need VAR? Obviously, I'm a fan of the technology. I'm not a fan of the people that use it. That's my problem. As much as VAR does help, and the technology is, I think the problem people have is it takes a bit too long. It ruins the effect of goals, which I can understand. But the more people use it, naturally, it should take a lot less. But ultimately, the referees got to be the ones that are trained better and are just of a better quality, because they're the same people that are using the VAR, and usually it just causes a bit more confusion, because again, where subjective decisions come in, one ref will think it's a penalty, say the referee on field, the VAR ref might not think it's a penalty, but they both could be right in their own ways, and that's where confusion happens, inconsistency happens, and then people go on the idea of, do we need VAR? If I was to make a final decision, I think it will probably solve, it'll fix more decisions that it will ruin, but I don't know whether it will come in anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, just on from that, you know, speaking of AKB, I know she had stopped by the time that Russo clatters into her, but, you know, rushing out, she did that against Leicester, didn't she, and gave away the free kick that led to their second goal that she should have been sent off for in that game. But again, you know, is there some criticism to be let at her door there because the defenders are there covering?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I know you said we're going to speak about it a bit more later, but these are the moments of madness that she has. And there's always going to be one in the game. And obviously there were a couple in this game. It's difficult. I mean, like you said about the VAR, I don't know whether four officials, four linos would make any difference, because they don't seem to want to know, do they? They don't help the referee in any way. You know, it's one of my pet hates of officials. So something needs to be sorted out with it, really. They need to help more. Who knows?
Yeah, I think... First step, full-time refs, full-time assistant referees. training.
I think so. Yeah.
You can look at those decisions and they can see, you know, well, this is wrong, this is right. When they're in that situation again, maybe they've got that experience now to say, oh, this is the right call to make. And, you know, people make mistakes. Everyone's human, I get that. The game is very quick, but you need to give the referees the best chance to keep up with it, in my opinion. And Matt, you mentioned two players should have been sent off. The first, I actually don't know what order these happened in. Lauren James, we'll say number one. Again, you know, a rush of blood to the head for her, over the top of the ball, studs down the shins, lucky to be on the pitch. And then Katie McCabe, you know, an elbow into Fran Kirby's face. Again, lucky to be on the pitch. But aside from the decisions, I want to just touch on the language and the tone that are used around it. You know, Lauren James already now has his reputation of, you know, being petulant, moody, arrogant. And that, unfortunately, turns quite quickly into racism, which obviously the club have put a statement out today to support her for the abuse that she's got from that. And, you know, it wasn't the worst challenge in the world. It was, you know, although we're saying it's a red card, you know, it's not a leg breaker. It's just a nasty challenge that she didn't need to make. But that quite quickly goes into abuse, and we see, you know, Sky Sports WSL clipping it up, putting it out there for the engagements and the clicks, when nobody's talking about Katie McCabe's elbow to Fran Kirby. And it's not the first time that Katie McCabe has, you know, done something which is violent conduct that should have been sent off for and is overlooked. I mean, what's sort of your thoughts and views around that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to try and say this in the most polite way. There are certain agendas that exist within media. We saw it with the BBC commentary throughout the game. We've seen it with Sky. We've seen it before with Chelsea. It doesn't matter whether it's the men's or the women's. It doesn't matter whether it's the under-18s, the under-7s, whoever. If they can find something to clip up and bring on a Chelsea player, and certainly a Chelsea player that seems to be ounces of positivity. Lauren James has had a fantastic few seasons. She's only 21. She's very young, and young people make mistakes. I've made the amount of mistakes I made when I was 21. It's a far lot worse than what Lauren's doing. So, I mean, I when I saw it, I called it brainless. But I can understand people. One of my mates, Arsenal fan. He said it's a dirty player, and I'm like, I can understand that she's done a few things now in a fairly short period of time, but there's no reason for Sky, BBC to just clip it up, especially when it's not being done by Katie McCabe, and other players have had it in the past, both men's and women's. I think this just shows that you do need to be careful with what you put out and how you put it up, because unfortunately there are people, I'm sure Sky, their intention is not to have racist abuse all onto Lauren James, but this is just the result of, I don't want to say dangerous language, but language that can be twisted and used by these sort of people that are poisonous in society to put hate on certain players. And this is where I think we need to be careful with what's constructive and what's creating an agenda, because saying Lauren James, some of the things that Sky and that have clipped her up and saying she is, that doesn't do anything to actually help Lauren James learn from these mistakes. I think sometimes I find big media companies need to be more constructive with their stuff without going into the realms of creating agendas and forcing hate onto players, because end of the day, Sky won't get punished for it. No one will moan at Sky apart from us lot. But as much as we have a great voice on here, it's not gonna hurt Sky at all. But it's just something that needs to be stopped, because at some point, players are, whether it's men's, women's, whoever, someone's gonna take this really the wrong way, and we could have something that we don't want to talk about happen.
Yeah, Simon, following on from Matt's great points, you know, it takes the conversation away from you know, what we should be talking about, where if they clip up both challenges and say, talk about VAR, you know, there's a conversation to be had there because there's two errors missed by the referee and the lines of people at the game they don't see or don't give. But instead, you know, Lauren James is facing abuse for just a bad challenge, which shouldn't be happening.
It's terrible. It really is. I've seen those videos of the Arsenal players. I don't know if it was in jest. You can't tell, but the walks they're doing, was it Leah Williamson was one? And a couple of the others sort of taking the mickey out of her as well. And I just, a young girl that's playing as well as she is, and she's getting all this abuse off people, and it's just wrong. After her World Cup game, I listened to a podcast with Farrah Williams, and she was saying, you show me a player that's not got frustrated and lashed out, whether it be a bad tackle or an arm. If she's getting abuse on the pitch from people and little nudges and that, she's going to react like that. She shouldn't have reacted like it, but she is. But McCabe was just... We all know what she's like. She's a yellow card every game and just lashed out. I didn't realise how bad it was at the time. I'd seen Fran go on the floor and sort of throw her arms up and look at the referee and everyone booing Katie McCabe. I'd seen a clip of that, of the elbow. And it's terrible, terrible, violent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing the Katie McCabe challenge on the coverage, whether that's just because I don't remember it, or it wasn't sort of shown or picked up at all. I don't know. So somehow I'd love to say that. I probably would have forgotten it, even if they did show it. But you know, it seemed to me that the focus was straight away on Lauren James and then the conversation from the World Cup after the this treading on the back of Casido, was it? The striker. But yeah, as we said, you know, no player should face, you know, abuse, especially on social media, and you know, they're the companies that need to do something about, you know, these faceless. I mean, these days, not even faceless accounts. You know, people are quite happy to put their face behind racist abuse, which is probably a reflection of society as a whole in general these days.
Yeah, isn't it? It's people warriors.
Yeah. Moving on from that, I think we've covered that. And I know there's a good clip from Counterpressed, who cover more than just Chelsea and the WSL, that cover it very well. So I think it's always hard for three white guys to talk about racism. Because we obviously never felt it or never faced it and never will. So, but we show our support to Lauren and everybody that's, you know, facing abuse. It shouldn't be happening. Moving on to the football then, you know, 4-1 is the worst defeat since Arsenal beat us 5-0. Where does this rank for you, Matt, in sort of worst defeats? Sort of up there with the worst ones, the Wolfsburg Champions League final, semi-final?
Yeah, I think the game from kind of start to finish, that's the thing that frustrates me, is the game from start to finish was just poor. As Emma kind of said a little bit, the basic things wasn't done. Nothing from players, the manager, to the water girl. Nothing was done right that day. People look like the Champions League final, and I think for that, it was 20 minutes of very poor play, but we at least showed ourselves in the second half and kept Barcelona out and tried a little bit to try and get back in the game. But that game was just gone before it even started. But this game was just the whole, it was that bad. I was more frustrated with this than the men's, and that's saying something with the way the men play at the moment. So that can kind of sum it up as my final point on this.
Yeah, I will say I do sit near the dugout at Stamford Bridge when we play there, and it is a water boy. So you were right the first time. It was a water boy.
This meeting is being recorded.
So I just want to read some quotes from the manager, Simon, because I thought that was interesting after the game, saying that we couldn't execute the basic things. Even when we did well to win the ball back, we gave it away again. so difficult as a coach when you have no control in a certain way, and I felt we lacked that across the pitch. I have a dressing room that would acknowledge that and own it. That's not our best, and to be honest, that was probably our very worst. It feels to me as if, you know, she's putting that on the players.
Does a bit, yeah. That's the first time I'd seen it or heard it. It looked like a team that had not played together before. I know coming back off internationals, but then we've come back off internationals before and won, haven't we? Perhaps she should have, yeah, tactics and Sam Kerr, is she fit? She didn't look fit. Is that one that she could have changed, bringing Fisher in? Like you said about the defence and centre backs and that, could she change things differently? I don't know. We were just saying, she started to take her eye off the ball a little bit. A bit controversial, but I said to the kids on the way home, we didn't win anything this season, in their last season. Obviously not going to happen, is it? Because we're going to win everything, but it sort of crept in, that little bit of doubt as well.
Yeah, amazing what a defeat can do for you.
Should we sack her? Should we sack her after that defeat?
I think she's in charge, though, so I think she gets inside when she gets sacked, by the sounds of it.
Hashtag Hazen.
Yeah, not from us, anyway. Please don't come for me. Can't deal with it.
Definitely not. No, just joking.
Yeah. Go for Simon. At Kingman Simon, please, for that one.
That's right.
Yeah, Matt, obviously going back to the goalkeepers, obviously the title of the show tonight is a play on the situation. We talk about them every week because the decision seems to change as who starts. I mean, given, you know, we spoke about the Leicester mistake for MKB, there's just at least definitely one here, if not two, in Arsenal. There's a mistake against Real Madrid that costs us a goal. If she's not sold on Mucevic, then do you think that Hampton should get the next three games? You know, Hacken, Bristol City and Hacken again in the Champions League and see what she can do.
Yeah, I think it would be no harm to the team to give Hannah the games. I mean, I wouldn't mind whether it's Zachira or Hannah. For me, Zachira's not. If I had to choose number one, it would be Zachira. But we haven't seen Hannah in a Chelsea shirt, and I think it would be the least pressure games to give her the chance to show what she's got. Why not? I mean, she's not been given a game so far, so she might as well be given one.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the goalkeeper who should start for the Hacking game, and we talk about that in part two, so we'll come back to that. Now, I didn't do a private match poll because I don't think there was anyone that deserved to be on it. But the last thing I will say is that we are still top of the table, and that is worth remembering. It's just one defeat right now. Maybe next week we can talk about Hayes out, Simon. But we'll see if we lose to Bristol City. Probably deserves to be sat for that, to be fair. Right, before we go to a break, a friendly reminder that if you enjoy hearing from us and like to help support the show, then why not consider signing up to become a season ticket holder on our Patreon. As a member, you get early and ad-free access to all our podcasts. And after 3 months, you also get an exclusive Went to Mokings Mellow sticker. And you'll hear our summer content. And those who aren't on Patreon don't have that luxury. So to support the show, just head to www.patreon.com/WentToMokingsMellow. And we'll be right back after this break.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates? Follow online commentary? Listen to the radio? Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's matchday problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to Wentworth Kings Meadow. Time now to look ahead then to that UEFA Champions League clash with BK Hacken at Stamford Bridge this Thursday. And Simon, I'll come to you on the goalkeeper situation. Matt saying, you know, give Hannah that chance. If you're not going to trust in Tachira, for me, anyone but Berger. Probably I'll go with Buzovic, but where do you stand or sit on the fence on this?
Yeah, like you both said, Buzovic is my number one. Better with her feet than Berger. Somebody commented on Sunday about the where Berger rushed out. Muzovic would have perhaps stayed on a line, closer to a line. But interesting about Hampton, I think when you watch him warm up, and she looks really, really good. I know sort of last season when we had Emily Orman in goal, when you watch her sort of warming up, and she was constantly just picking the ball out the back of the net. But Hampton is, yeah, different kettle of fish. Maybe we should try her. Perhaps Bristol rather than Thursday night against Hacken. Sort of a must-win game, isn't it? Where it's should be right, shouldn't we, against Bristol? Give her a couple of games. But, yeah, it was a bitch for me.
And then you obviously got players, Matt, like Jess Carter and Neve Charles, who seem to play every game. Do you think, given that we've just lost, we're going to need to win, that they can't get a rest either on Thursday? They're going to need to struggle through it.
Yeah, I mean it's a bit harder with Carter, I think, because we know our lack of centre backs now with injury, that I think Carter just has to play. You don't really want to change too much in that centre back position when it's already not at its strong point. Charles, could she be rested? Could Lawrence start? Probably, but again, maybe it might be a thing of you play Charles as a starter, win the game in the first half, and then maybe look to bring her off at half-time. Then she gets so-called rest from coming off, and Lawrence comes on at half-time. Depends on how she wants to play. I think there will be changes. I don't think she'll stay with the same team. I don't think it'll be a centre-back. I think centre-back will still be Carter and Mielder.
I've gone for an interesting choice in my prediction. Which, after you said that, I think is going to be wrong. But I'll stick with it for now. I suppose, Simon, the one positive from Sunday was the return of Guru Wrighton. Good to see her back on the pitch. Do you think this could be a first start for her?
Fantastic player, isn't she? Yeah, I've got her in my team. I don't think JRK should be dropped. But I think she's playing really well. So I've got JRK one side and then Wrighton the other side. It's good to see her back. I'm just thinking, when you were talking about centre-backs, and could you drop Engle back into centre-back? Would that be a possibility? She played there. I seem to remember her playing there before.
She had...
Lose her in midfield, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got sort of in here, you know, Matt, you know, in for Cuthbert with a question mark, because speaking of Erin, you know, sort of the worst I've seen her play this season at the start of this year. She hasn't sort of looked herself at all in any of the matches. She looked, you know, out of place on Sunday, and not down to her. I think the system didn't help her at all, and then she was left on her own in the second half to give her that. But, you know, not our usual Erin standards that we come to know.
Yeah, I mean, it shows how kind of poor she's been. She's not been in my lineup for weeks. just because I feel like she's not, she doesn't look at it. But at least we kind of Sam. So some games of Sam is on it. Some games you can see Sam doesn't look fit. But I don't know why. Maybe it's just the amount of games she's played over a period of seasons, and maybe it's just this season she needs a bit of a period out, coming off the bench, and sometimes a player does need that. I think Ingle provides a bit of stability, so I think we'd place her in that midfield, and then you can choose who you want to play beside her, whether it's Miskin, whether it's Kirby, Fleming, anyone really. I think just to keep things stable and steady, I think Ingle needs to be put back in that defensive midfield position.
Yeah, I agree with that. And talking of Sam Kerr there, Simon Kerr or Fischl for you?
I've gone Fischl, just to give Sam a bit of a rest, really. She's not firing on all cylinders, is she, at the moment? Look quite sluggish, I think, on Sunday. So I've gone Fischl.
Yeah, I just think she always stick with Sam as the start. And when I come to my lineup, I'll explain that a bit more. But, Matt, we spoke about winning the game first and then making the changes. But, Hacken will deserve some respect, because they are top of the group. Because they beat Real Madrid and Paris 2-1 in their opening two games. 2-2, unlike anyone else who've all dropped points.
Yeah, to be fair, arguably we should be getting two wins from two as well. But it is what it is. But yeah, I think Hacken, they've showed up and they've played really well. And I think they will get our respect. But I think they'll be annoyed that Chelsea lost at the weekend, because I think Chelsea will come out firing, because they will want to prove that this is just a blip. And I think this is where Hacken will be a bit worried that Chelsea will come out firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and according to Google, Simon, they haven't played since they beat Paris 2-1 on the 15th of November. So they're either going to be extremely fresh, or they're going to be lacking a bit of that match sharpness, and hopefully it's the latter and we can take advantage of that.
Hopefully. And like Matt said, it'll be a bit of a wounded beast situation and we'll come out, scoring about 5 goals in the first 10 minutes after Emma's given them a rocket all week.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. I know it is cold in Sweden, so not many games being played. Or their season finishes or whatever it does. Don't know how they do it. But according to Google, they haven't played since the 15th of November. And they don't play again until after the Champions League till March. It's a bit of a weird one for those Scandinavian teams, I suppose. Team predictor then. This is a bit of a mix of me and what I think Emma's going to do. So it's 3-5-2. Muzovic in goal. A back three of Lawrence, Mielder and Buchanan. Ritten, Cameron and Wrighton as wing-backs. Ingle and Cuthbert as the midfield. And then got Kirby James behind Kerr. I think Cuthbert should be out of the team, which is hard for me to say as someone that loves Aaron Cuthbert, but I think Emma picks her. I think she starts Sam, because you start Sam Kerr, even if she's not fit. Then use those wing-backs as the width and have James and Kirby as those two tens, causing havoc, hopefully, in between. But Matt, I think you're going to make a couple of changes to that, maybe in defence.
Yeah, I think Emma will put Zachira in goal. I probably would put Hannah in goal. I'd probably play Lawrence, Mielder, Carter, Perisic, that's the back four. I definitely think Hannah needs a start, because I think she's not proved me wrong, but I wanted to see more after last season from her, and I think she's providing that this season. I think she deserves a start. I do think Brighton probably will get 60 and come off. Midfield. Have we got any injuries in the midfield?
Weren't Leopold supposed to be available and weren't put in the 11 door squad?
Yeah, so I'll assume that Leopold is not going to play. It's probably Ingle. I would go Ingle, Ingle, Fleming, Kirby, and then James and Kerr.
Yeah, and Simon, what would your changes be?
I've gone Muzovic in goal. It's difficult, isn't it? Because if they'd all played badly, do you want to chuck some of them out or do you want to just carry on? I've gone Lawrence right back, Buchanan, Jess centre, Charles left back. I think she's going to play every game, Charles. Ingle, I've had about three different names for the other position. I went with Cuthbert, I've went with Lou Burrows, and I've gone with Fleming. Now, Fran behind Fischl, and then JLK and Royton getting a start. But then I've dropped Lauren as well. So should Lauren play? Because I don't know. That's my team anyway. I'll stick with that one. Final answer.
Because I always say it's a waste of time.
Who knows?
Yeah. Some players miss games because of a run of fixtures, and you find out they've got a knee injury that keeps them out till after the new year. Really bright. But so you can't trust anything that Emma Hayes.
And you. Maggie's not even there, is she? She's not even featured, but she'll come on at some point, I suppose.
We will find out. It's about
a goal, obviously.
Yeah, Thursday night. Prediction time. Matt, I'll let you go first.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think both teams are going to be up for it. At the moment, I can't trust this defensively to keep a clean sheet, so I think it's going to be 4-2.
4-2. Simon?
I'm going to contradict myself because I said 5-0, didn't I, after 10 minutes at first. But I'm going to go 3-2.
Still 5 goals.
But an easy 3-2.
3-2. Yeah, I don't like 3-2. Bad score. I don't know. No idea. To be honest, we don't do anything with these predictions, so I don't have to say one, to be honest. Because next week, I'm not going to know what I said anyway. So I don't know is the answer to this. Don't know what she's going to do. Don't know how they're going to play. I just know it's happening on Thursday, really, is all I know. So, yeah. 4-1. There you go. I've got to say one. Sadly, that is all we've got time for this week. Matt, thanks for joining us after work. Appreciate the effort.
Yeah, I mean, work can be a little bit of a pain sometimes, but I'm happy to be on.
Yeah, and Simon, a bit of a battle early on, but we got there. Thanks to Verity. Shout out to Verity.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, well done, Verity. Come on, Trump's again.
Now, if you want more from us, make sure to follow us on Twitter at MoKingsMeadow and Instagram at WentToMoKingsMeadow. I am at Dean Mears, Simon's at Kingman Simon. And Matt, yours has changed from Matt J Ball 98, or is that the same?
Yeah, that's the same.
I thought so. We'll back, hopefully on Friday, with Rich Bates, Ben, aka Medicine from the Discord, and Simon once again for a review of that BK Hacken game. Maybe Simon will remember the predictions. I should do some sort of points thing, but I can't bother. So I won't. Yeah, David, you're right on Mixler there. West Ham FA Cup first round in the new year. Didn't even think to talk about that, but there you go. Thank you for listening. Until next time, from King's Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flowing.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.